if ever we lost a child, we never lost a child.
That's good.
We misplaced them sometimes.
They were just miscounted.
Yeah. One time, the daycare at Smoke Rise called, and this child had not got off the bus. Well, there was a substitute teacher that day, substitute bus driver. And those kindergartners sometimes would just decide they were going to go home with somebody and go get in bus line with them.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Linda Parker.
This is Miss Parker. And so Miss Parker is very near and dear to Shane and I. She was part of our growing up and was the assistant during my time at the elementary school. She was the assistant principal. I had to visit a few times. We may get to that today, but we're going to have a lot of fun. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Cullman County. Mm-hmm. I grew up picking cotton on a farm. My dad was retired military and a farmer. My mother went back to school when she was 42 and became a teacher. And I was blessed to go with her to her 75th high school reunion.
Wow.
So, and I'll tell you a little bit more
75.
About that. Yes. And, then when my husband and I got married, when we were both 18, we moved to Birmingham, Midfield, and lived there 10 years. And 50 years ago, next month, we moved to Blount County.
Midfield, yeah. Alabama.
So, wow. And our kids were, Kurt was 3, Ken was 2nd grade, Christy was 4th grade, 3rd grade when we moved here. And so my mother was a teacher, Ken was a teacher, Christy was a teacher.
Miss Parker, probably... As influential as a person has ever been on my life, because not only did she teach me, left a lot of impressions, which we've talked about that before in on one of the previous
podcasts. You made one of the shows.
But her daughter also taught me.
First grade.
Oh. And then I had Mr. Parker, Mr. Ken, in 7th grade, I believe it was.
Science,
yeah. Not as a homeroom, but I did filter through at some point in time through his class during 7th grade.
And I do have the lesson. So for the audience, you can't see Mr. Ken, but he's joined us today, too. He's just monitoring us to make sure that we're not going to do anything crazy. 40-plus years in the school system. First of all, thank you for your service and impacting so many lives. Yeah. I mean, you'll never know the fullness of the impact.
It's very rewarding. Yeah. I've had the best life you could imagine.
When you said that you get an absolute thrill out of, I thought it was going to be being the first one to paddle somebody. I thought that's what you were going to say, because
she went a different direction. Oh.
I remember having this Marine come back to see me. He was in 4th grade, and he just kept getting in trouble, And I finally told his mother, I said, what he needs is a good paddling.
Yeah.
She said, oh, he's never had one. I said, really?
Oh, well, just let me introduce him.
So I did. She said, okay, try that. Mm-hmm. And so I paddled him, and I promise you, he never got in trouble again.
Really?
He just needed somebody to show him that there was an authority, you know, at school. And he came back as a Marine and told me he appreciated that. Y'all would know him if I told you.
And he for sure knew that when he got to the Marines that there was an authority. Yeah.
He figured that out.
So
it's sad that you no longer can enforce that, because a lot of people are like, well, that's just really, or, you know, it's not what you're supposed to do. No, it's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. I couldn't be a principal now. I would probably get fired or in jail. Or
that's what Mr. Mills and Ms. Spink said. Yeah. Same
really?
Thing. Oh, yeah. They said, I mean, they're absolutely right.
They
would have been fired.
Their
those cards.
Sense of humor would not fly in today's swirl for sure. Yeah.
But we love it. All right. So all those years, let's hear some. So you are prepared like
yes,
a true
I am
teacher. Mm-hmm. You've got, she has a list and she has a direction, mm-hmm. and Shane and I are so
only
excited.
If I get to tell him one thing, I forget what I was going to do the next time. Is the reason I have a little cheat sheet here.
I've got my cheat sheet right here, so I got you. Well, tell us some stories. Let's have some.
I'm going to start off with kids say the darndest things.
Those are always my favorite.
You know, schools, I don't know if they do it as much now, but we always had to raise money, you know, mm-hmm. to pay the power bill. And back then, we had to pay our own power bill. Now, the board picks it up. But back then,
didn't know that.
Yes, we had to pay the power bill. And so, we were selling bulbs in the fall for the spring. And this little redheaded boy, y'all know him if I called his name, but he, when they brought him for them to carry home, he came and he was just crying almost. And he said, yeah. "Miss Parker, my mama's going to be so mad." I said, "Why?" And he said, "She ordered red tulips and they sent her onions."
Oh, he hadn't gotten to that part of natural science, Mr. Parker. He hadn't got to figure out the life cycle of a bulb.
I'll go on because I got a lot of stories. And then one time, well, I always tried to help, you know, the whole child. We have to educate the whole child, physical, mental, spiritual, educational, whatever. And we had this child that came the afternoon before school was going to start the next morning. She was in a wheelchair. I called Rhonda Swan to come. She was there because I said, "Rhonda, you're going to have to be her aide, you know." But anyway, she had lots of issues. And at Children's Hospital, they have, you can go and they call it clinic. And you go on one day and you see four or five doctors. Mm-hmm. You know, it saves a parent from having to go a lot. Well, I suggested, you know, she go. Well, she told me that she had that appointment, but she said, "I don't have a way to go." And I said, "Well, I will carry you." So I took, you know, half a day off and went to carry her. And so she had a little two-year-old boy with her, too. And he was a little, he was typical two-year-old, about two or three years old, probably two and a half, three years old. And so they were, it was a long day, you know. And so I had to go to the bathroom. Well, I couldn't leave him out there, so I carried him in the bathroom with me. Well, his mama was about this big, right?
Yeah.
And so when I was in the bathroom, I got up. He said, "Why are your legs so fat?" Oh,
my goodness.
Oh. I said, "Because I like to eat."
The only reason I've got.
Right in stride.
Oh, that was one of the funniest ones. And then this guy, that said this to me, he said, "Three more wake-ups, and it's Saturday."
Three more wake-ups.
You know, that's the, and that was, I had never thought of that or heard that, to tell a child times it's going to be a wake-up.
Yep. Three I don't know wake-ups. Who started that, but my son picked up on that somewhere. I don't know if it was in his pre-K class or where, or maybe on a show, but that is, they seem to grasp that idea.
I've taken it right up. Never heard it before, but I'm right there with you right now.
You see how a child would understand that?
Yes.
And
pick that up.
Got it.
Stored.
Then one time in kindergarten, the kindergarten teacher sent me a note, sent this little boy down to me with a note. And she said, Jordan, well, I wasn't going to say his name, but there's a lot of Jordans.
Yeah.
Said, "Jordan, one of the boys came back from the bathroom and said Jordan had a knife in his pocket." And so now this was kindergarten, and this was the last year, I think, before I retired. So they'd gotten pretty strict. You know, you're doing all this to kids that brought a knife to school. And so I talked to him and his little bitty thing. And I said, "Now, Jordan, do you have any more knives?" He said, "Yeah." And so he reached in his pocket and he pulled out another knife. And I said, "Have you got any more knives?" He reached another pocket and pulled out a knife. So he had three knives. And so then when he, I was going to let him go back to class. And I said, "Now, Jordan, have you got any knives in the classroom?" "Yeah, in my backpack." Oh, my goodness. And so I sent for them to send his backpack down. And he kept pulling out knives. He had 13 knives.
Oh, my goodness.
He got in. His brother had a knife collection when I called him.
Oh, he got older brothers.
And he brought all the knives to school.
Oh, you know.
What was he doing, just showing them off?
Yeah.
Show and tell.
He didn't open them or anything. He was just showing them he had a knife.
Well, I mean, look at, I don't have but one knife. I got 13.
Oh, you don't like that? And look at this. Oh, do you think that's good? Look at this.
Look at this. The last thing you was talking about when they finally banned pocket knives, they had gotten a little bit strict towards my 10th grade, 9th. Like it was 8th, 9th, 10th grade that they'd finally, I guess, really said no more pocket knives, somewhere around in there. And I was in Miss Palmer's class, the other high school English teacher. I can't remember her name right now. Anyway, I was in her class and I was still carrying a pocket knife. Of course, I didn't show it to nobody, but I mean, when you when you grow up, like, you got to have a pocket knife from time to time, clean out your fingernails or whatever. And I think it was Matt Balch asked me if he could borrow my pocket knife. And I said, sure, I don't care. You know, here. Well, I didn't, unbeknownst to me, what he was doing with my pocket knife.
Setting you up.
Well, I don't know that he was doing it intentionally, but he was carving his name into the desk. And Matt, if it wasn't you, I apologize. It might have been another one of our buddies. But I said, okay, well, I didn't know it. You know, I didn't know who it was or what he had done. So after the class, the principal come and got me and said, do you have a pocket knife? And I said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, well, let me have it. And he said, you know, I got to take this up and you're going to get in school suspension. And I said, for having a pocket knife? He said, no, for letting
aiding and abetting.
Aiding and abetting. You know what happened? They carved their name. And I said, I didn't know that. But I got so mad at again, it may
so you
not
got
have
in
been.
School suspension for it? Did you get it?
In school suspension, sure did, for somebody else using my pocket knife at the time to carve their name onto their desk.
Before I did, I never had in school suspension. And you're a lot better person than
now,
I.
Now look at it. He want to brag about it. Okay,
we isn't that crazy? I mean, you were such a better person and student than me, and somehow I didn't get that.
Sure did. I got in school suspension, and not only did I get in school suspension, you know, when I got home and had to tell.
Oh, we wore you out. I guarantee.
Absolutely got additional for that one. Sure did. Mm. Carrying a pocket knife.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not, but just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services, or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show. I didn't do the pocket knife thing when I was a kid, but I did get talked into, have I ever talked about what I took home from school?
No, let's hear about it. Let's hear that.
So I didn't even know what it was. I had to get educated on what this product was before. Well, I think it was, I'm not going to call the name, but he said, hey, I got this thing from my brother. And those are the best things. If you ever told you something, they got something from your older brother. And it was in a little black bottle like this, and you could spray it. And I said, well, what is this? And he said, man, this is mace. I said, mace? What is mace?
What is
and he
that?
Said, man, you take this and spray it in somebody's eyes, and man, they just fall down and start crying and watering on the ground. I said, well, that is exactly what I've been needing. I didn't know it, but I needed that. And I said, well, I don't, you know, I'm a bit of a skeptic. I said, I don't think it'll do that. And he said, yeah, it will. I said, well, let's go find a grasshopper and see if it'll do it to a grasshopper. So we took it right out to the playground that day. And in the fall, you know, you can find those big old grasshoppers. So we got a grasshopper and those big tires that were down there. And we put it up on top of the tire. And I got the mace out of my pocket and sprayed it right in his eyes. And, you know, they don't really blink. You know, so I didn't know if it done anything to the grasshopper or not. But anyway, so we went back home, put it in my bag, didn't think nothing about it. Mama never checked my bag, maybe once a week. Mm-hmm. It was a rarity that she ever checked my backpack. It just so happens. Guess what she wanted to check when I got home from school that day?
What's in your backpack, friend?
And I was sweating. you know, the look, I knew it was in there. And lo and behold, she went through every square inch. I really don't think anybody narked on me. I really don't.
You think it was just one of those things?
She got that out. She said, well, what is this? All downhill from there, mm-hmm. buddy.
It's funny that you're talking about, you know, parents just knowing stuff like that.
I mean, she, premonition.
Mm. I don't know where it comes from, but you've been a parent and a grandparent, you know, and a teacher. So
it's eyes in the back of your head thing.
It just happens. I got the wise idea when I was probably, I might have been 17, 16 or so. I had just turned 17 if I was. I was still pretty young. Well, I was going to sneak out one night. And I snuck out and I made my bed. Put the pillows in there.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I mean, I had the whole plan formulated. You know, you formulate everything, right? And my mom, she never, as far as I knew, never got up to check on me or whatever. I even had the car parked on the hill where all I had to do is park it, put it in neutral. I didn't have to crank it up. It would just coast down the driveway. So I had it all thought out. So I didn't have to crank up till I got all the way to the end of the driveway. So I snuck out and then got back. And when I topped the hill out here, I looked up at my house. You know that old song, Every Light in the House is On?
Oh.
Every light in the house was on.
There's only one reason.
Sick as a dog. Immediately. Don't even turn
Don't
in.
Even just keep go up there.
Oh, I turned in there and mama met me at the door. Where have you been? Well, and so.
Here's a snack.
Yeah, I had to go to the store. So, you know, there was nothing. Nowhere I could have went that was okay. And so, years later, I thought, Mom, what made you go in there? And she said, I just woke up and was just going to check on you.
Crazy.
And when I looked in there, I was like, no, that's not Shane laying in the bed. It's just one of those things. Parents just know stuff.
Mm.
Sure enough. I never snuck out again, though. Mm. I did learn my lesson. Sorry, Miss Parker.
What?
Take the microphone from him.
Well, I've told you all of the kids' stories, that good ones that I could remember. This parents.
Now I can't wait. Mm. I know there's some good mm-hmm. ones of these.
Well, I mean, this all these are kind of all the same thing, but this dad came in one day to, I think maybe we had called him, the child was sick. Well, he got there, and I just happened to be there at the sign-out thing, and I could smell he'd been drinking.
Mm.
And so I said, have you been drinking? And he said, I had two beers. And after I told Mr. Thomas later, he said, that's what they always
that's
say.
What they always
I said, no, that.
That's the acceptable number.
Yeah.
Hey, if you ever watch Cops, you that is the exact number all of. Yeah. I've had two.
But anyway, I told him, I said, well, you can't have her and drive, yeah. you know. And yeah. He said, I can too. That's my daughter. And I said, well, let me call the sheriff and see what he says
Let them know.
He yeah. said, okay, you drive her. I told him, I'll drive her home. Mm. You can I'd hated for him to get arrested, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. But anyway, so I said, I'll follow you because I didn't want him to run into me.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, I don't want it to be rear-ended as well on top
we got
of all this.
To the Baptist church, there sat the highway patrol. And I thought, he thinks I set him up. But he kept going and I kept going. The trooper didn't come and I delivered the little girl.
Got
so
home.
You just drove her home.
Yeah. So, well, that wasn't the only time that happened. One time we had this parent come in. It was a woman. She had her coat on upside down. Now, how do you put your coat on?
Now, those two beers were.
Yeah. Quite a gulf they took on that one.
I don't remember the outcome of that. If I know I didn't let her have the children. If she left or I can't remember. Seemed like I called somebody to come get her, mm-hmm. you know, come and get her. I don't remember for sure. But then there was another time was at a parent pickup. And Miss Russell, Phyllis Russell, y'all remember Miss Russell?
Oh,
she
yeah.
was a counselor. She maybe taught first grade. You were in her class, I believe. Were you?
I was not in her class, but I loved her, and she loved me for some reason.
Yeah, she did.
Anyway,
But we had it was a guy who came to pick up his girlfriend's grandchild. Now he was young, but it was his girlfriend's grandchild, and so
the web they were weaving.
He was he had been drinking. He
My
was drunk.
Goodness.
And I told him, I said, you know, you can't have this child and drive home. You know, you're drunk, you know. And I said, if you'll pull over there and park, and when we get through the traffic, Miss Russell and I'll carry you home. So I told Miss Russell, I said, you drive his truck and him, and the child can ride with me because he was in a little truck. Well, it was a straight shift.
Oh, no.
Miss Russell hadn't driven a straight shift in a
long
time.
Time.
And we got over to where they lived, and it was real steep driveway.
Oh, my goodness.
She liked to never got that truck up the driveway. But anyway, we laughed and laughed for years. She would talk about how I made her drive that truck.
Driving the straight shift.
But now, she had such a great sense of humor.
Yeah, she did.
She
Do you remember how she used to open the assemblies with jokes for y'all? She'd go in to calm y'all down telling jokes. And but this is the one that was the funniest one, I think. I had gone out to parent pickup, and I always went out the back door. And when one of my teachers come running out there, she said, Miss Parker, I was following this car, and it turned and went through the football field. It's coming in line. And she said it was weaving all over the road. There's a child in there. And so I said, okay, can you describe the car? Well, it was a black car, I think she said. And so about that time, Shelley Bale Smith came. I saw her walking over from the middle school. She was the principal there at the elementary school then. And some of her teachers had told her. And so when she knew exactly what it was, well, I saw the car in line. So I go over and I asked the guy, I said, he had an open cup in his car. I said, what you got in your car? Well, in your cup? And he said, well, I don't remember what he said, but it was some sort of alcoholic something. It wasn't a beer. And I said, so you've been drinking? And he said, yes. And I said, and he drew the card. I had taught his mother in first grade. And he said, you know, I'm so-and-so's husband. I said, I know who you are, but you're drinking, you know. And I said, get out, give me the keys to your car. And so he handed her, I said, why didn't she, your wife, bring her to school? He said, well, she was drunker than I.
Oh, no.
And so.
This is in the morning?
In the morning. And so by then, the SRO had left traffic and come up there. And I think I had got him out of the car and on the sidewalk and had Dr. Phil Smith to pull his car over in front of the gym there. And so the SRO came around and. And I told him, and he got his handcuffs out and handcuffed him, and I took him off. And so then a parent stopped me in line and said, what did he do? And I said, he didn't follow the rules.
Didn't follow the rules.
Well, we had smooth parking.
I bet drop he, off he should have went right down that line. He kind of cut in line. There's a way that we do this. Yeah. He wasn't doing it that way.
Oh, man.
Got handcuffs waiting on you tomorrow if you don't straighten up.
That's hard to believe, man.
Yeah. Well, and being a teacher and getting Ken can vouch this, that sometimes you'll go to a workshop and you won't get anything out of the workshop. I've sat through them all day long and not get anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I could have done a better presentation. But I went to some that I got some really good ideas. And so I had been talking to the principal. I was assistant principal about this car that truck came by and he had something awful on a bumper sticker, but it was up the back of his truck, you know. And I said, you got to say, he said, that's his private car. I can't say anything. Well, they, in that camp meeting, they said, if you don't want it on your campus, you don't have to have it. You're in charge, you know.
Of the campus.
And so I said, and so I came back. I didn't even tell him that. I just went out there and told the guy, I said, you can't come back to school this on this campus in that truck with that sticker on it. I said, our kids can read. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's very inappropriate. And he started to tell me, oh, it was about his grandma. I said, I don't care. We don't know that background story, and those kids don't. And, you know, he never came back to school in that truck.
Brought a different vehicle.
And I had a woman that had one on hers and told her the same thing. They took them off or didn't come back.
Now, what years was this?
Well, I was still assistant principal when the man.
That's to say it had to have been over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you'd have got the same respect today.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't have been on my campus.
It's just a different world. I mean, 20 years has made a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. We were talking about that at church this morning, how things have changed so much. Mm-hmm. Well, 50 years has really made a difference. Kurt was telling the other day when he was in seventh grade, he was going to go hunting with somebody after school, going mm-hmm. home with him. He carried his rifle on
Absolutely.
The bus.
On the bus. Oh,
wait a minute. On the bus?
On the bus. John Carl, you know, was the bus driver. And then John Carl kept it on the bus until that afternoon. And Kirk went out and got it, went home with whoever. I guess rode a bus then and went hunting, you know, squirrel hunting with
them. On the bus.
On the bus.
But let's say one thing about that. There's nothing wrong with that when you have the right intention.
It's right. That's because it's like, it's not, guns don't kill people. People do.
I've never seen one just by itself do anything.
Yeah.
That's just, but now, 20 years later,
yeah,
that is ludicrous. Yeah. Well, that's more than 20. That's probably 40, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Probably about, he would have been 20. Yeah, probably about 40 years.
Yeah.
About 40 years ago.
You're talking totally different. That's a whole other world.
Yeah, it is. So.
Because it's what, you know, it was not uncommon in the parking lot to see shotguns and rifles hung up in the back of the truck.
Uh-huh.
Were they out there trying to do a police raid on that truck?
No,
he's going deer hunting right after school today.
Yeah.
He's not here to hurt nobody. He ain't going to hurt nobody. It's just different.
Right. A different world we live in. So
do you remember the drug dogs that would come in? And and you would never hear of who they got, but you'd see them out in the hallway and be like, what are the dogs like? But you and I have talked a little bit about how thankful I am I never was faced with some of those things that mm-hmm. some of the kids are faced with nowadays. I was never presented with some things. Right. And so, you know, you see the drugs dogs, I'm like, why are they wasting their time here? Yeah. I had no idea that there were actually some kids probably there with drugs or with some illegal things mm-hmm. that they weren't supposed to have. But man, I'm so thankful that I didn't get presented with some of those mm-hmm. things. But some of that was because of you helping out and, you know, the teachers helping guide mm-hmm. the way that we went, and our parents, of course, being involved.
Right. I was just worried if they could smell Copenhagen.
you knew you had a little bit of that.
What all they hear trying to smell? I'm not worried about all that other stuff, but hold on.
I think one of my gifts is problem solving. Ken probably wouldn't agree with me. But one time, when I retired, I think we had 22 buses, and we had, you know, two lines of buses. Mm-hmm. The first line had left the one close to the buses, and then the second line, and they parked like 6 inches apart to close. Have enough room mm-hmm. and to keep children from walking between the buses. And so the very first bus in that line, and maybe it wasn't the first, second or third, was broke. We wouldn't crank. Mm. We got ready to go. Well, we were going to have to back all the buses in the back up enough to let that first bus there out. So I told, there's about five or six teachers there. I said, y'all come on, we're going to push this bus. And they looked at me like,
are you serious?
And I went and told the driver, I said, put it in neutral. And she said, we're not supposed to do that. I said, we got to get these buses on the road. And so she went ahead and I said, I'm making that decision. I'll see fall out. I'll take it. Now, Ken loves to hear that, don't you?
I'm now, making his that transportation decision.
The six of us pushed that
Y'all
bus.
Y'all were able to push it?
Yes. Pushed the bus enough that the one behind it could get out in the whole line then was wow. able to get out. I thought that was pretty ingenious.
That was
yeah.
pretty good.
Hey, man.
Isn't there a song about pushing the bus?
I have pushed that bus. Yeah, Outkast.
No, you're kidding.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You didn't know they was writing songs about you, Miss Parker.
No,
also early 2000s.
Yeah.
Since we're
I forgot one story here that's real funny. The elementary, at the primary school has a shower in one of the teachers' workrooms. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
didn't
there's a either. Shower in there. And one time we had this little boy, still when we had were elementary school and I was assistant principal. And he came to school smelling bad mm. every day. Mm-hmm. You know, teacher would talk to him and I'd talk to him. And so I decided he was going to take a shower at school, you know. And so I had my towel and some clean clothes, clean underwear, all that laid out for him. But I thought, now, if that kid were to turn the hot water on and get burned, I'd be liable,
in trouble.
You know.
Ooh.
So I was going to set the shower. I never opened that shower. Well, it's boxed in. Where do you think the shower that should be on the side? They were straight in the back.
Of course.
You had to get in the shower. And so I thought I could turn it on and get out.
Fast enough? Nope.
I mean, it came out so fast.
You took the shower.
I got the water set for him. And so I called Marty in the office and I said, you know, your big black sweater, bring it down here.
Come on back.
And so I sat in the teacher's workroom with a sweater on while Marty went and dried my clothes.
Oh, great. Y'all had a dryer there?
Yeah,
too?
We had a washer and dryer. Yeah, to wash mops and things like that.
So, how many days a week does a kid throw up?
Oh, every day.
Every day.
People would ask me, is there a virus going around? I said, what are you talking about? There's always a virus going around when you got...
We're in school.
We're in this petri dish down here.
When I retired, my school was K through 2, and we had 750 students. You talk about... There was always somebody.
Somebody was sick.
And that stuff, I'll never forget the smell of whatever that is.
Oh, yeah, that
is
just
to clean that up. It just stinks.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but it does a good job.
It was a cat litter, wasn't it?
I don't think it was cat litter, but it was called something. It's pink. I can remember. Yes, we pink. Had to order it. Yeah. Yes.
You'd be walking down like, the hallway. Like oil slip stuff. But it was like a liquid? Was it a liquid?
No, it was powdery.
Powdery, like, yes.
Not like powdery. Like,
it would cake up in the middle.
And then when it dried a little, you swept it up. Yes. You had to wash the broom out and the dustpan out.
I remember walking down the hallway sometimes, and they were letting it soak up. Yeah. And you'd walk by, and you'd just be like,
I'd rather just smell the throw up instead of that and the chemicals. Yeah. But yeah, that was horrible. And somebody's always throwing us
every day. That's what she said.
All right, I got two more little stories.
Tell them.
All right. One of them, it's a boy I taught him in first grade, the cutest little boy I ever taught, I think, other than Shane.
Well, I was going to say, now Miss Parker. I don't remember
don't
the
hurt
story,
his feelings because he's real big on himself.
Now, this is a sad story, so y'all don't laugh. Okay. I mean, it really is. Right. And I'll probably cry telling it. Bless he was so sweet. And so he was there first through sixth grade. I guess we had kindergarten. Yeah, he was kindergarten through sixth grade. And I'd see him and talk to him. And the home situation was not ideal. And I gave him my phone number, so if he ever needed me at night or on the weekends to come get him, I'd have gone and got him in a minute if he'd have called me.
I believe that.
And then he was murdered.
Really?
But a lady walked up. He was sitting in a car and walked up and cut him in the throat. Oh, she was one of our former parents, too.
I didn't know this.
Anyway, I had led him to the Lord when he was in the sixth grade.
Oh, what a lesson that is.
It was such a blessing. And then I was able to call his mother and tell her that.
Wow.
It was actually his stepmother. And told her to tell his daddy that I knew where he was, that he had,
That's incredible.
Then I got another God one.
So he was, before you move on to the next one, I've got so many questions. But, so this was when he got older?
Older, yes. He was like probably early 20s or so.
He was murdered.
Murdered. Mm-hmm. Down on Cane Creek Road. So
that's crazy.
Reckon I know nothing about it.
But you never know what impact, we talked a little bit about it, but what impact you can make, especially from a spirit, because you said you got to educate them spiritually, physically, mentally, all the things. And y'all took that opportunity to do that. And I'm so thankful that their teachers, principals that were out there brave enough and bold enough to do that.
The last story I want to finish with, I told this at my retirement. When I was teaching first grade, actually, I think it was the first year I taught public school. There was a little girl in my class, and her parents were divorced, and they were going through a hard time economically, and she didn't have a coat. Well, Christy, I had a coat she had outgrown, so I carried it to school for her. So when all the kids went to PE, I kept her back and, tried on the coat, fit her perfectly. And she, beautiful child, just so pretty. And I told her, I said, then when you come back from PE, it wasn't real cold that day. I said, but when you come back from PE, it's going to be hanging on the coat rack. And you just put it on and nobody, And so they came back from PE and we went to PE right close to the end of the day. And so she got her coat and they were lined up. We were fixing to go to the buses. And she said, thank you for the coat, Miss Parker. But that's not the end of the story. About the year that I retired, 11 years ago, I think it was probably that last year that I was there, maybe a couple of years before that. It was real cold one morning, and one of the kindergarten teachers came down and told me, she said, this little boy, said he all he's got is a sweatshirt on. He didn't have a coat. And I said, this was early in the morning. I said, it was the day of, was getting out for Christmas. Mm. And I said, I'll have him a coat by the time he goes home this afternoon. And I could tell he was probably a size 6. That's going to get it. And a lot of times I'd call parents, I need a pair of shoes such and such by this afternoon, before you go home. And sometimes I would pay them back if they'd let me. A lot of times they wouldn't. They'd say, let me do that. And anyway, the year before, we had, at that time, our school just went through third grade. And so we had that little girl's that I had taught in first grade, her and her husband moved back to Hayden that morning. So now the little girl's in fourth grade, not in my building. That morning, the mother came in and she had a bag in her hand. She looked at me and she said, "I thought you might still be in the coat business." And she brought a coat for me to gift. You'd think her little girl that it would have been a little girl's coat, but it was a little boy's size six coat.
Unbelievable. The Lord worked that out, didn't
he? The Lord sent that coat.
And so they not only brought y'all back together.
Yeah, right.
But then met the very exact need you needed. Wow.
You know, and she'd bought the coat the day before. God knew.
No, so you had nobody had told nothing. No, that's incredible. So that's a good story.
But I had a good life. We laughed, you know, having a purpose in life gets you through about anything. Mm-hmm. But we having friends, and when I was teaching, every day we had a good belly laugh nearly. Mm-hmm. We had the best time. It was just a joy. It wasn't a job. It was just a pleasure.
Yeah, you're talking about finding your passion or your purpose. And, and there is no doubt in my mind you found your purpose when you fell into teaching.
Yeah, I wanted to be a high school math teacher. Mm-hmm. That's what my dream was. And then I ended up being early childhood.
Yeah. A little bit different there, but still in the same lines.
Well, I got to, after I retired, I tutored at Teen Challenge. So I got to do plenty of high school, and I had to get somebody to come in and help me after 50 years of you hadn't had algebra.
Oh, I know. It's to try hard. That again.
Yeah. Or geometry. Now, I can still do them. But most of the girls there needed a lot of junior high school math and all. But I helped six girls get their GED there.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah, when the kids ask me about, you know, math is not my strong suit, when they ask me a math question, it's like, get the computer. Get an iPad.
The computer can tell you.
Let's get on YouTube. I guarantee there's a great video that's going to show you and me how to do this because to just start from scratch on a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you got to have a formula. I don't know the formula. I have no idea.
No idea.
Yeah. We got to get a formula first. Yeah.
Some of the teachers that you were talking about in elementary school, do you remember Miss Smiley? She recently passed.
Oh, yes. I went to her visitation.
She was my fourth grade teacher. And that was the first time I'd ever really gotten hurt at school. I was in Miss Smiley's class, and I, you know, they had those desks with the trays and stuff underneath it. And I was sitting in the desk, and Miss Smiley probably told me 100 times, get your feet out of the desk, get your feet out of the desk. But for some reason, I always wanted to put my feet in the desk. And I sat next to, in her room, there was a little corner. And it was a cinder block corner for some reason. It was partitioning off something. And I sat right next to it. Well, I got tickled at something, and I lost my balance. And I just fell backwards straight onto that cinder block wall and hit my head right there. I think it knocked me out. I don't remember. I came to, and Miss Smiley's standing over me. She said, "Shane, are you okay?" And I said, "My head hurts." And I reached back there.
Wet.
And it was wet. And I pulled it down. And it was covered in blood. I lost my mind. Mm. "She's fine. It's fine, honey. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine." Went over there and, you know, stuck my head underneath. At that time, they had sinks in their room. Mm-hmm. And stuck my head under the sink and washed it all off and rinsed it all out. And she said, "Child, I told you. I told you." And that's all she kept saying. "But you're going to be fine. It's going to be all right."
Just a reminder.
You're going to be fine.
We didn't have to be here.
Split it all the way down through there. But I thought I'd never had stitches. And that's all I kept asking. "Am I going to have stitches, Miss Molly? Am I going to have stitches?" She said, "Child, I don't know. Are you going to have stitches? I ain't no doctor."
"Child, I don't know."
You shouldn't have got it. You shouldn't have fell off the desk if you're worried about that. I got home. Did not have to have stitches, though.
I was not so lucky.
No?
Mm-mm. No. And back to the same thing. We said there's a theme of telling the child over and over and over again. You know about that. Well, we were down there swinging on the playground, and we like to jump out of the swings.
Yeah.
And there's a certain point that becomes really fun. Mm-hmm. Because you know, we just get them going, get your hands on this side. And when that thing gets to the top, you just let go and there you are flying. Well, to get high quick, you got to really lean that swing back.
You got to get back there.
You got to lean it back. And they had told us so many times not to jump out of those swings. Well, here I go. And boy, I got to catch up. My mm-hmm. buddy was already higher than I was, so I had to really catch up. So I leaned that thing back as far as I could. And the lights just blinked out. And the lights blinked out because my head hit the rock that was in the right up under where your feet drag. And I'm talking about is just full on smack. And I mean, I was trying to just hang in there, you know, and to get the swing. I finally got the swing stopped. And I was like, man, my head sure is sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
That was back when I had hair.
Yeah.
And I reached back to feel that sweaty head, mm-hmm. and it looked like a horror film mm-hmm. when I brought, I was just screaming. It was Miss Kathy and Miss Knute.
Yep.
Miss Kathy. Yep. I was down there just, I didn't think I could move. So I just was standing in place.
Yeah.
Just screaming at them. Not uncommon.
Yeah.
And they were like, what is it? You know, and I just showed them my hand. Boy, that got them up. Yeah, got here they come there. Running down there. And they looked at the back of my head and all I could hear was, oh. And I had a big old hole in the back of my head.
Oh.
To the office
to
I
the
went.
Office
to
the
Children's
went.
Hospital I went right after that.
Did you really have to ride to get the children's?
Busted. It was busted wide open. Sitting there looking at my skull.
It was middle school when we started climbing the ropes. How did y'all let us
no,
do that?
No, that was elementary part? In the gym with a concrete floor.
It was at the elementary gym.
I remember well because I never could do it.
How did you let us do that, Miss Parker? I mean, I loved it though.
Oh,
that
yes,
was
great.
One of my when we walked into that gym and they pulled that rope down or it was already hanging, you knew it was going to be a good day.
I don't think anybody ever got hurt doing that.
No, of course we did. I mean, but then all of a sudden they just like, oh, we can't do that anymore. I looked forward to that rope hanging down to go climb that rope.
I remember the day y'all had to change it from a cement floor to the padded floor. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
I was in there when the accident happened.
Do you remember who it was?
Oh, I absolutely know who it was. I'm not going to call the name because I hadn't. I'll tell you afterwards. We're playing Duck, Duck, Goose.
Duck, Duck, Goose. Man, that was always a fun game. Absolutely.
I don't remember that. I might have still been in the classroom at
You
that
may have
time.
Been. I'm not sure what grade we were in, but we were playing Duck, Duck, Goose in the middle of the gym, big circle. And I don't know if did you just beg people to pick you?
Yeah.
I mean, I was just like taunting them when they come
on. You won't pick me.
You won't pick me, you know. And they picked him because he wasn't real fast. But here's what we didn't think about. It'd been raining that day.
So it don't matter how quick you are. You getting around that concrete
So those
floor.
Shoes wet. Concrete's wet, and here he took off running after that other person. Those feet said, "Say
no!" With the teeth
right on the concrete, boy, it just shattered them, and out they went.
Golly.
Boy, I'm talking about blood. Next thing I knew, we're gonna be able to use the gym for a couple of weeks because they're putting us a floor down in here.
Man,
showing up. Now, I'm pretty sure because it happened right after that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that may have been the reason.
Yeah, probably
why
so.
But I just thought.
I still have. Ooh. I can't believe how well they gather and wrangle all those kids at one time. It amazes me because I try to wrangle. You know, you get 10 or 12 in a vacation Bible school class, and you've got a handful. You know,
oh, man,
I can't imagine having 700.
Yeah.
In a school trying to get them all in, and you say, get in that lunchroom. You ever walked in? Well, I know you have. You ever gone to the elementary lunchroom when all them kids are in there?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
We had
gracious.
The traffic light. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I do remember the traffic light. Whose idea was that? Do you remember?
Mr. Thomas's.
Mr. Thomas.
I think, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm telling you, buddy, we'd sit there and watch it while we were eating.
He'd go to yellow.
He'd go to yellow. And everybody's like, shh.
Back to green.
Yeah, and then it'd go up to red. If it went to red, everybody start hollering. It'd just make it worse. It'd just make it go. I was like, shut up. And it's like,
and you silence for 5 minutes.
And that was like the worst thing that could happen. But the teachers were just finally like,
Yeah, silence.
I think they were up there making it go off.
Yeah,
they wanted
that.
They had a button under
I'm
the table.
I'm sure they did.
No.
I don't remember how it operated. I never got that intrigued
it
with
was
it.
Sound-
It was.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
It was by saying. I thought it was. I thought one of the teachers was in charge of it.
No, it was strictly.
By
you could
saying.
Make it go up.
Yeah.
If you go over and scream in front of it.
Or is it still up?
No.
They took it down?
I don't remember why he took it down.
That's a great idea. I mean, it worked well.
Oh, it's a staple in my memory.
That's silence.
Absolutely buddy. Remember it.
You know, talking about riding the bus, you're talking about riding and it being hot.
Oh.
Miserably hot.
August, when physical school started back.
And I used to get migraines as a kid. I fortunately grew out of those. But I remember being sick as a dog. Sick as I could be. And you had your girlfriend. You know, you had your little girlfriend. Fifth grade. Allison Howell was my childhood girlfriend, right? But that's because she stayed at Aunt Sheila's, so it was just convenient, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you want to be my girlfriend?
It's an access thing.
I think that was just, this is how it worked out. But she was sitting next to me, and she'd look at me, and she was like, "You don't look too good." I was like, "I feel terrible." And she said, "You're not going to get sick, are you?" I was like, "No, I'm not going to get sick." The longer we were on that bus, the hotter I got, the worse my head hurt, the more them exhaust fumes coming. And I said, "Allison, you better move." She said, "What?" I said, "You better move.
Here it comes."
I got so sick. I threw up in the everywhere aisle and everything on that bus. I felt so bad. But that was the worst bus experience I ever had.
See, I have considered driving a bus.
No.
And that's what keeps me from doing it.
Well, there was nothing I could do about it.
I'm not kidding whatsoever.
That was exactly the reason.
Having to clean up, throw up on the bus, that's where I drew the line.
Mm-mm.
No, I'd have to really get something together to overcome that.
I feel like I got
the pink stuff.
You could get the pink stuff.
Yeah, they kept it on the buses.
I know they did because it happened not often.
Yeah. I got to commend old Allison, though. She didn't leave me after that.
Oh.
She was still my girlfriend. Oh, she hung in there with you?
She sure did. She had the prettiest hair.
Blonde as it could be. Man, like my little girls.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Buses are something else. We had if ever we lost a child, we never lost a child.
That's good.
We misplaced them sometimes.
They were just miscounted.
Yeah. One time, the daycare at Smoke Rise called, and this child had not got off the bus. Well, there was a substitute teacher that day, substitute bus driver. And those kindergartners sometimes would just decide they were going to go home with somebody and go get in bus line with them. You know, the teachers didn't walk them all to the bus after the first couple of weeks. And so I remember I called the bus transportation supervisor and I said, "I don't know what to do. I have no idea where this child is." And I said, there was a substitute driver. I think I called somebody that lived on that route and they told me there was a substitute driver. I don't remember how. Anyway, so while I was panicking, trying to figure out where this kid was, a man on a motorcycle drove up with the kindergartner on the back.
No!
The child had gone to his house with his daughter.
Oh, my.
And he put him on a motorcycle
and brought her to school.
Oh, I bet you were as wide as that sheet of paper.
I just think, you know.
Yeah, thank you for bringing it. Thank you for getting her here.
But next time, call me and I'll come get him. You know, and so I had to call the parent because the daycare had called the parent and told her. And I knew she was going to be there. And when she got there, he just left when the parent got there.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, and I told her. And she said, well, she's okay. Yeah. There's nothing, you know.
Yeah, nothing wrong.
But, I mean, that was...
I'm sure she loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that's not the only time we lost one. With just a, what they call a perfect storm. Misplaced one.
Yeah.
Perfect storm. It was usually when there was a substitute teacher and substitute bus driver.
Yeah, because they weren't used to their regular.
Right. One time, Steve Latta called me. He works for the Board of Education. Mm-hmm. He lived over at Hayden at that time. And it was real cold that afternoon. Same thing. There was, I don't know if there's a substitute teacher, but there's a substitute driver because this little girl had a brother. Well, he didn't get off the bus and the little girl and Steve was carrying his trash can out to put it out for the next day. And he heard a child crying and the people weren't at home. And she was like a first grader, I think, or second grader. And he found her. And that, you know, it was just a God thing. Now.
She had gotten off the bus. She had gotten off at a random place.
Where she went. Normally, that was the grandmother's house. She was supposed to go home that day.
Oh, I got you.
And but going back to the little girl on that bus that got on the wrong bus and the guy drove. I got on the bus the next afternoon and I chewed the high school students and
middle school. Yeah.
I said, you know, when there's a substitute bus driver and there's a child on your bus that don't normally ride the bus, y'all say something to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a little
responsibility. We need a little help. Yeah. A little community there.
And so then I would appoint get high school or whoever recommend somebody that kind of could be a watcher on the bus for us. But
Lindley did it.
Went to the wrong house.
She was not supposed to get on the bus that day or was supposed to get on another bus and go home with another kid and send a note or whatever. And of course she pulled up. That's typical me. You know, I just get in a routine and I'm just going to keep rolling with it. Gets on the bus. There's nobody at home. So she goes, what does she do? Smoke Rise Daycare is right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I live. Instead of going across the street, she goes to the neighbor's house.
Let me go to the neighbor's house.
Don't know them that way. We hadn't been there that long. But, you know, here she goes. She's seen me out in the yard talking to them or whatever. And then not only that, so the adults are not home. They have a young son. She just climbs in the car with him and they take off and are going to go wherever. It just went from bad to worse. But here's the deal. What I'm saying, I'm not saying bad, like him being bad. I'm saying the situation could have been horrible. Yeah. You replace those people with different characters.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't know where Lindley went.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't live in Smoke Rise, then maybe.
But it's just weird. Like, look, here's what we're going to do next time. If this happens again next time, we're going to the church.
Church, exactly.
You know, just because. Yeah. So that's just what
that's
you
the safe
do.
Place.
Yeah.
So
look
happens.
For the helpers.
It happens.
We used to, you're talking about substitute teachers on the bus. That was the favorite time on the bus.
Oh man.
Ken, you know this. Blount County roads aren't necessarily meant for buses to go up.
Monster trucks.
Yeah. So Miss Sandy knew where she was supposed to turn a little to the right and a little to the left, you know, and we would be going down through there. And as we got older, we were older at this time, probably sixth grade, seventh grade. And we knew where the bumps were.
Yeah, because you'd lean off the seat a little bit.
Yeah, because you'd be ready, right? And that lady that was substituting, because first time she'd hit them bumps, bam, and we would just holler, just hoop, and I'm sorry. Well, she went around this one turn, and I remember it's at Graves Gap Road and Graves Gap Way. Well, you can't get the bus all the way across and turn right and miss the culvert. You had to swing way to the left and get there. Well, she stayed in her lane, and I'm sitting there grinning. I knew what was fixing to happen. I'm just quiet as a church mouse. The whole bus is quiet because they know what's
ready
fixing
for the show.
And she hooks a right. She just spins it real quick. And them right tires fell off in that culvert. And the front tires come off the ground. And it stops driving. Because
great day.
It can't go nowhere. And we're cackling, you know, because what does that mean for us? We're late for school because the bus is stuck. So we
excused absence.
And she's squalling, you know, because she's like, oh, I didn't mean to do
this. I hate this.
Bunch of heathen kids on here, and we're just grinning ear to ear. Late for school.
Yep. We did. You got to give it up to the substitute bus driver because they have to know they're going to catch it.
They're going to catch it. Yeah,
well, they have a lot better technology now.
Nowadays, remember those fiberglass seats?
You remember that? Did you ride the bus when they were fiberglass seats?
I don't think. I think I had cushioned.
They were non-padded. My first one. I think it was a 1978 model.
Was it really?
Absolutely.
I don't remember that.
Bam, 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 going down the road.
Rough.
See, slide. I mean, if you turn a curve, you better hold on because that fiberglass, you're just
going on across.
Right.
Man, the things you learned on the school bus, too. That was places you learned things that you shouldn't be learning.
I learned I can't even tell it on the show.
I didn't know my mom had told Miss Sandy. But we sat at the front of the bus. Like we sat right behind Miss Sandy. Years later, after school, I realized what had happened. Patricia said, don't you let them youngins get to the back. They sit right here so you can keep full eyes on what they're doing and what
your
they're
mother was
to.
A strong disciplinarian. I remember.
Oh, Miss Parker,
what you talking about?
Yeah, yeah, and my daddy, both of them. You know, what Philip was talking about. You did that? He's like, yeah, I did. I did actually. Like, how I got away with it, I don't know, but. He's thinking of something over there. I don't know what.
You're talking about sitting right behind the bus driver. I'm gonna try to make this as PG as I can make it. Because it is PG. It is PG. It's first grade. So you can imagine how much did we know in first grade.
Yeah.
Again, those seats were right behind the bus driver first seat because we're, you know, tiny. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not gonna mention the name, but we were sitting there and we had heard that a little bit about how humans came to be. That there was a process.
There's a process.
And so we were sitting there just having a ball, thinking about it, just being little boys, mm-hmm. you know, talking about, you know, whatever.
Storks dropping them off.
Yeah, storks dropping them off. And we're talking about that time, he looks at me. So the light bulb comes on in his head. He looks at me and he says, and, you know, there's that huge mirror. It looked like it was 8 feet long. Yeah. You remember the mirror that was above the bus driver that they could look back. At everybody? Mm-hmm. So he leans over and he whispers to me, he says, and I don't know how, it's quiet. He said, do you think Miss Kathy? And about that time, she goes, I'm not going to say his name. She goes, Billy. And she was sitting there listening to every word that we had been talking about. But when she got involved, she said,
no more.
We're stopping this conversation. And I remember we both just sat up like that. And I thought, oh, don't tell my mama that this is what we're sitting here talking about.
Please don't tell mama.
Oh, man. I'll never forget it, though. And we've laughed about that. I don't know how many times. Oh, man. The bus.
The bad times on the bus.
The cheese wagon.
Yep. The old cheese.
Do you have any more good stories to tell us about school that you thought about that we've been sitting here?
I didn't think of any. I do have one kind of funny thing.
Tell us one more, and I'm going to get Shane to tell his little. you got to tell it.
The PE teachers had gone to the high school to get a key to the.
Let me get you right here.
Gone to the high school to get a key for us to have track and field day mm-hmm. The football field. And so they came back and told me that the principal said that that would be the last year we could use the football field for track and field mm-hmm. day. So that afternoon, there was a baseball game and the grandsons were playing. So I went to the baseball game after school and the principal was there. And I said, where are you going to put that new parking deck? He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I heard you was getting a new parking deck. He said, no. I said, well, where are you going to park all those people when I can't use the football field? You're not parking football parents at my school.
Mm-hmm. What'd he say?
He said, you can use the.
That was a quick turnaround, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm second thought, Miss Parker.
You know. Since you put it like that, here's the key.
I didn't realize that we needed each other as much as we do.
Wow. What? I want you to tell your story real quick.
You just want me to break on in there.
Or you want to wait? You want to wait on it?
No, I'll tell it. So
let me set it up.
Okay, set it up.
So we talked about having a segment each week where we tell, it doesn't have to be groundbreaking, but just a story from our life every week, just to, what are we doing? And so here's Shane's from last week. Tell your little life story. Okay.
So a week ago, let me set it up even better than that. A few weeks ago, my wife had changed our detergent. And she had started using this fancy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's called
Thieves, isn't it?
No, not Thieves. It's now Philip, you've done messed me up here. What is that stuff called? It is it's like a glamour.
Mm. What is the name? It's in a Y.
Diva.
Diva. That's it.
Diva.
Yeah.
It's called Diva. And I will say, it is phenomenal.
Aromatic.
Very aromatic.
You ever heard of it?
No.
Okay.
And so But after a couple of washes, you don't smell it anymore. Like I don't even know. I mean, I know my clothes are washed, but I don't smell the, I hope my yep. clothes are washed, but I don't smell the diva. Like it's not in my.
Yeah. You're numb to it.
I'm nose blind to it. Well, we had been working all day. And if anybody that knows me, when I work in the summertime, I sweat like a stuck hog. I mean, it's just my hat will be wringing wet and I'll just be nasty. And the stuff I do, it's just filthy, dirty, muddy. I mean, just you can tell Shane's not been sitting behind a desk, right? So we go and Mr. Randy wanted to go eat at Hardee's. I don't normally eat at Hardee's, but that's where he wanted to go. So they came in, Randy and Micah came in and ordered their food and then went and sat back down. I went and washed my hands. Well, I walk up to the counter and the young lady behind the counter, she kind of just stares at me. And I was like, she said, have you been working? I said, yes, ma'am. Okay. I said,
Does the cat have a climate here? I mean,
supposed to say, right? Are you working? Yeah. You know, because I'd like to order my food. And so she's like, yeah. So what do you want to eat? And I told her I wanted one of the hot ham and cheese sandwiches or something. So she rings it up and she's having trouble. And she looked at me again. It's like, you've been working.
She's tore up about it.
Yeah, just concerned that I've been working. And I said, ma'am, I've worked like since I got up this morning. We left the house at 7. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Like it's 12 o'clock. I'm hungry. Yes, mm-hmm. I have been working. So I was like, that's such a – I pay for my food. And I'm like, what a strange interaction. So I go sit down and I'm telling Randy and Mike, I was like, this girl up there is like asking me if I've been working. And they're laughing like, mm-hmm. why? And I said, I don't know why. She comes over to, it takes a forever for me to get my food. She finally brings me my hot ham and cheese sandwich. She walks up again and she said, you mean to tell me you have been working all day today? And I said, ma'am, ask these boys here with me. They've been with me. Why are you asking me this? And she said, you smell so good. And I was like, that's the strangest thing that's ever taken place.
Hit you with that Joe Biden one time.
And that's right. I mean, she was just like right up next to me and I could not. I was like, well, you can thank my wife for this, right?
You should wear a wedding ring.
But I probably should. Or it's either wear a wedding ring or rip my finger off. That's the options, you know. I could get those plastic ones. Yeah. But it was so strange.
I just love it. It's so bizarre. That's why I wanted you to tell.
Very bizarre. And I was so uncomfortable.
Smelling on y'all.
Yeah. But then it hit me. She's able to smell that diva. And I know why she was saying that, because I didn't look like I should smell anything like my clothes probably smelled. So
you smell like that guy that she's trying to help get that shower.
Get the shower. It all made sense once it took place. But man, it was so strange. I was like, why is this lady asking me this? Yeah. You know?
Story of the week for me. I was at the hospital this week and, you know, I try to be decent to everybody, have good conversations, but I'm also, sarcasm is my love language and I love humor. It's just the way that I am. We go to the break room and, you know, this is co-ed men, women. And I'm sitting on the couch and another coworker who's female is sitting on the couch beside me. And everybody's in there just having fun, laughing. And she gets her phone out and she does one scroll on Facebook. And I just happened to look over and it was a couple of dogs on the screen. Well, I joke around with her commonly. And I said, well, whose ugly dogs are those on that screen? One, I didn't mean that. I mean, they were beautiful Labrador dogs when they were pretty. Number two, I never would have thought that they were her dogs. We're on Facebook. We're not in her photos. We're on Facebook. Number three, I had no idea that they were missing.
Oh.
She doesn't say anything. She just starts crying.
She didn't have to say anything. You said it all.
Her eyes watered up, and I went, oh, no. I said, I'm just kidding. It didn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
That was not helping anything. And I said, why are you crying? And she said, those are my dogs, and they've been missing for a couple of days. And I said, you're kidding. And she said, no, I'm not kidding. And then the guy that was right on the couch beside her, he's red in the face because he's dying.
Yeah, he's dying. He has watched inside. This thing,
but
yeah.
He can't openly laugh because it's going to make it worse. And he just leans over and goes, I guess she's telling the truth. Man, I felt this big.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so sometimes humor's about timing.
That was poor
timing.
Sometimes
it's time for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not. That was not. And I just, but anyway, so great news is, so let's do a follow-up here before I get some hate comments.
She found her dogs.
She found them. We're all good. She's not mad at me. She understands that I was just joking and that was the worst time that it could have possibly been. But I thought, be careful.
Yep. Stick that foot. Oh, man. Right on in there.
Insert foot. Well, let's play the word game and then we'll get off here.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to let you start it. So we started this word game a couple of weeks back. Shane hates it. I love it. And we're going to see if we can do it.
I hate it. It's just, I know I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say sooner or later. That's going to happen. And that's what I want to do. That's what he wants. It's exactly what he wants, Ms. Parker.
I'm not here to make you look bad. We'll laugh if he does. Yeah. All right, Ms. Parker, you lead it off.
Yesterday,
I
went
to
the
school.
Keep around
going. The
around the third
base
side
of
the
field
and
field. No way. Field, house.
Oh,
I thought you said and.
I said and.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
you did fine.
I thought you said field.
No, ma'am. I said and.
All right.
That was my fault. I probably didn't speak up, Ms. Parker. Let's try again.
Let's do it one more time. You're really good at this, by the way. You're a lot better than the other guys.
Other two guys we had was one of them kept saying woodpecker.
They only knew one word. Let's keep saying the same word over and over. It was funny. It was hilarious, though. All right, you want to lead again?
No, you start.
Okay. Once
upon
a time,
a
gigantic
tortoise
crawled
up
the
hill
to
chase
a
rabbit.
But
along
came
a spider
and
chewed.
What? I didn't understand the word.
In English.
Chewed. And a spider.
Along
chewed.
Came a spider. Chewed.
Up.
A.
Tremendous.
Amount.
Of.
Tobacco.
However.
However. He.
Was.
Getting.
Allergic.
To.
Tobacco.
So,
the
spider
began
to
throw up.
You're so good. Oh, that's awesome. And that goes back to another episode about tobacco.
Yeah, that fit right in there.
Perfect Brother Johnny's story.
Yep.
Well, you've been a lot of fun, Ms. Parker. You've made a huge impact. Positive. Let's make it clear. You made a huge positive impact on both of our lives.
Thank you.
And countless others. And Shane's been talking about it for a while, and it's just like a God thing that you're here today. It just worked out perfect. And we're thankful for your time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking
me. Thanks for coming on. We really enjoyed it for sure.
I had a good time too.
Did you?
That's important. People see that too. And I hope they see that. I hope you guys see that today. We truly enjoyed being together.
Yep.
But that's going to do it this week at the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Linda.
Miss Parker.
We'll see you next week.